Nation to such beings is by the Arya Maitreya, in his prayer of Maitreya. So the actions which are responsible in leading you to take birth in lower realms, they are those actions which are harmful in nature. Harmful in nature, causing harm and pains on other sentient beings. So by refraining from engaging in the negativities as harming others, you then help yourself alleviate, help yourself save from the taking birth in the lower realms. And this Maitreya Bodhicitta actually considers or take into consideration other beings more important than to yourself, so thereby not generating even the slightest attitude of harming others. So it is because of this mind of enlightenment or the bodhicitta that always constantly think about the welfare of other beings, that this would then be entitled as the mental attitude which has the greatest power in accumulating the virtues to achieve the highest state of enlightenment. And the wisdom of emptiness, so at one point it can be the remedy to encounter the subtlest of subtlest of the obscuration, that is the obscuration to perfect knowledge. So that wisdom, gaining such power is done through the power of compassion. So it is because of this that the bodhicitta is the mental attitude which has the capacity to lead you from the state of lower births or the unfortunate births to the higher births, and then also that it has the capacity to lead you from the samsaric state to the state of enlightenment, and then eventually to the highest state of enlightenment, that is the highest good, the state of Buddhahood. So these are the qualities and the benefits of meditating or cultivating bodhicitta. So this ultimate sense of altruism, desired or for benefit to all other beings, and which is the ultimate source of hope for gaining all good qualities as fortunate birth, enlightenment, and so forth. So the very basis which would be the proper vessel to meditate upon this bodhicitta would be the human, a precious human birth. And we see that we are actually endowed with all these qualities for to meditate in bodhicitta well. And the instructions for to cultivate bodhicitta, so the supreme among all, the Mahayana teachings and the Mahayana sutras, and the respective commentaries composed by Nagarjuna, and commentaries written by Arya Maitreya, so which are available even nowadays, that we can study them, that we can reflect on the content, matters of these. And in some cases where we find the difficult points which needs further interpretations, so we see again other commentaries, successive commentaries, which try to kind of make these difficult points more easy. And on top of having all these precious teachings and commentaries, and we are also endowed with the unbroken lineage of these transmissions. In the presence of such kind of unbroken lineages of this instruction in bodhicitta, it should have its own unique kind of benefit upon the practitioners. And the lineage which is traceable from the Buddha Shakyamuni down to Maitreya, Manjushri, Nagarjuna, Asanga. So it is because of these factors that this teaching on bodhicitta still remains are so fresh, even nowadays. So reflecting all these things, we see that we're actually endowed with all the factors, whether external or internal. So as such, it is crucial that we have to identify ourselves, be able to realize, be aware of the fact that you are actually endowed with all these favorable conditions for meditation on Bodhicitta. And then yesterday, in relation to this, we already did the ceremony of holding the Bodhicitta at an aspirational level. And then it says that after having generated that aspiration bodhicitta, when you derive a very strong urge or desire to engage in the action of the bodhicitta, so then it is advised to hold on to the actual bodhisattva vow. And there are different rituals involved in taking these bodhisattva vows. So one, as said, in the compendium of trainings by Charanideva, there is one way, a different way of ritual. And also in Charanideva's text, A Guide to the Bodhisattva's Way of Life, we also find the same thing. And also then in relation to the tantric system, there is yet another ritual by which one holds the bodhisattva vow. So out of the different versions of the rituals for taking bodhisattva vows, so today, the kind of the ritual that I'm going to use is the ritual which is set in the Bodhisattva Bhumi or the Bodhisattva ground composed by of Asanga. So this process of taking Bodhisattva vow, so if in the presence of, if there is the actual living Buddha, living teacher, it is good that you can receive that from your guru, or otherwise you can receive that from the image of the Buddha. And whereas in terms of the ethical discipline of Vinaya, or the solid personal liberation, pratimoksha vow, so it is necessarily required to obtain it from a living guru, and not sufficient that you receive it from a kind of image of a Buddha. So the ritual which is conducted in the presence of the guru, so the first part, preliminary, consists of first making supplication to the guru and then asking for hindrances, asking whether or not there is any hindrance for you from receiving this bodhisattva vow. So the object to which you are going to make the object, in this case the guru, to which you are going to make the supplication and request for this bodhisattva vow should be someone who is in possession of the kind of experience of bodhicitta and having the bodhisattva vow, and who is expert in the bodhisattva ideals, and not in the degenerate state of bodhisattva ideals. So in my case, so no doubt I have a tremendous sense of enthusiasm and inclination towards bodhicitta, and I've also received a bodhisattva vow from my gurus, and then also on a regular basis I've been taking bodhisattva vow from the image. So, and then in case of someone who is expert in the vast scriptures of the Mahayana, although I'm not at all qualified in that, I'm not having that qualification, but still I'm someone who is very enthusiastic as to study all these things, learn these things, and reflect these things. And from the part of, on the part of the students or the disciples who are receiving and this bodhisattva vow should be someone who is having kind of inclination towards bodhicitta and having the desire to engage in the bodhisattva ideals through understanding the various actions, bodhisattva deeds, And then someone who is actually already introduced to the various root infractions of the Bodhisattva ideals and the secondary infractions of the Bodhisattva ideals, and thereby giving a very strong conviction that I'm going to really observe the various commitments of the Bodhisattva deed, Bodhisattva vows. And the wording of the supplication. Oh, my master, so I really want to receive Bodhisattva vow from you. So if you are really permitted to bestow upon me the Bodhisattva vow, so please grant me the Bodhisattva vow. So this is the wording of the word for supplication. So you repeat this. So repeat after me. O Master, if you have the potential to give me the Bodhisattva vow, I really like to receive it from you. O teacher, if you are permitted to give the Bodhisattva vow, I would like to receive it from you. O teacher, if you are permitted to give the Bodhisattva vows, I would like to receive it from you. So this, with this we finish the supplication part. So the Lama then asked whether or not you have the obscuration for receiving Bodhicitta vow. So first, the Guru will address by saying, O noble child. So here, when you attach this word noble, it means someone who is really enthusiastic, so who is an admirer of bodhicitta. So then the Guru will ask you if you are desirous of liberating all beings who are not liberated, first, and if you are desirous of freeing all beings who are not freed, and if you are desirous of relieving all those who are not relieved, and are you desirous to lead all beings to the state of nirvana? So every time you have to answer yes. So, but the first one, asking if you are desirous to liberate all beings, it means the desire to liberate all beings from the evident suffering or the suffering suffering, and freeing those all living beings from who are not freed. Here, it should be replied. It means freeing from the entire samsara. De la. And the next is asking you, through having achieved, having already generated the bodhicitta, since that you are then entitled to engage in the Bodhisattva ideals, Bodhisattva deeds. So for example, in a school where you are to conduct for an examination, so if you are qualified there as one of the examiners, So since that you are already there as a Bodhisattva who is to be actually holding the Bodhisattva ideals and who is holding the Mahayana teachings, saving it from degeneration. So you are asked whether or not you really want to be of that kind, whether or not you really want to hold the Mahayana teachings and save it from degeneration. So you have to answer yes. Whether you really want to hold the lineage, to uphold the lineage of the Buddhas. And the reason for holding Bodhisattva vows is to liberate all beings from who are not liberated, and so forth. So these are the kind of purposes. And there are countless numbers of Bodhisattvas of the past, present. So this means you're also going to be of that category of Bodhisattvas. So since that you have already answered affirmatively in all the questions are so far, so the Guru would then say that, in a general sense, you are well qualified for observing the Bodhisattva vows. And then, this being the kind of general thing, then on top of that, there are further questions to be asked.